feeling ornery today. I don't know what's in me. It's the cinnamon toast. It's the cinnamon toast. It's done it. Hallelujah. To you this morning on the God of surprises and blessing. The God of surprises and blessing. I want to start in Psalms 21, if we might, verse 3. It says, "For you meet him with the blessings of goodness, and you set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you've placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever, and you have made him exceedingly glad with your presence." You know, as I was praying and thinking about this morning's message, I got to realizing that a lot of the times the way we approach God is very, very limited. And I look back at my own life, my own upraising in church and different things. And to me, when I was younger, now not so much today, but when I was younger, the word salvation just simply meant I don't have to go to hell. And that was about the extent of it. I had really limited salvation to just meaning I didn't have to go to hell. I didn't understand that salvation was Jesus progressively working in my life, my whole life, to do beautiful things for me. I missed that whole part of salvation. I was very limited in my thinking. And then later on, you know, you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and somehow you think that that's the whole thing, speaking in tongues. Can I tell you there's a lot more to it than just speaking in tongues? And then your prayer life, you know, I even today I listen to a lot of people pray, and I'm not picking on anybody, but a lot of prayer is just worrying out loud. It's just people worrying out loud, or it's people griping to God about their list of what God's supposed to be doing for them. And so we have this whole list, and we gripe at God until we think we can nag him to death or something, and he'll do it. We forget the part about relationship in prayer. We forget the part about deep to deep and the beautiful thing that God has for us, and we can limit God. Well, when I read this text, I got to thinking about the way we limit God in the blessings and how we are the blessings of God. We've limited him so much because what we tend to do, whether we realize it or not, we limit blessings to material things, to cars, to clothes, to homes, things of this nature. We limit God to those things. And how many of you know those things are a blessing? If you want to bless me with a new Ford pickup truck, I'll take it. I'll take a Chevy. I'll take a Dodge. Anything. Anyway, those are blessings, but there's so much more to it than just material blessings. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So there's two sides to this thing. There's a spiritual blessing that's beautiful, it's powerful. It touches our generation, it touches our children, it touches our marriages, our homes, and it's something that's powerful. And so there's not just, we limit God. We start to not realize what God has for us. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." In other words, this is a picture of your arms being extended and being loaded down till you can't carry anymore. I'm ready for that. You can load $100 bills on my arms. I'll hold them out there until I can't carry anymore. Now, I realize blessings are more than material things, but they are, you know, this is what the picture is. A picture of he wants to give you so many benefits, so much blessing that you can't actually carry it all. Now, there's a bit of a balance that I need to bring here just at this moment, in that we tend to romanticize Christian ideas a lot of times. We as Christians, we want to paint a story for people that everything's peaches and cream. But sometimes life can be a little bit of a struggle. And there's some things we have to go to. And if we don't paint that story quite right, people will feel very derailed. They'll feel very wounded and actually resist you and blame you for not giving them the truth. So there's two sides. There's the great things and the benefits of God, and even those benefits work in the darkest hours. You don't want to get trapped in always darkness. You want to keep the mystery of God alive. Amen? You want to keep the wonder of God and the glory of God. You want to keep those things alive in your life, even though that there are going to be some dark and unpleasant times. Let me give you an example. The old sailors used to go out, and they would sail by using an instrument called a sextant, and they could line it up with the stars, as long as the stars were there, and they could chart a course across the ocean and actually go across the ocean. But anybody that has sailed any time at all knows that you're usually going to hit a storm or two while you're out there. And once those storms come, well, they couldn't line up with the stars because it was dark. And so all they could do was keep the course the best they could until the stars came back out again and they could get themselves lined up and get back on course. So what I'm saying to you is there are dark days in our lives, but they're not all dark. And here's a lesson you need to learn. Never chart your course in the dark days. Always wait for the clear days. Wait for things to be clear. Wait for life to be positive. Wait for things to be good. You want to measure yourself on the good days when it's easy to see how things are working. Don't start changing the course of your life because everything's going wrong. That's the wrong time to change it. You change the course of your life when everything's going right. Amen. And you can see where you're going and it's clear. So God, what I'm trying to say to you, don't limit God. God has blessings for our lives, great blessings for our lives, benefits that we can't even carry. There's so many of them. But along the way, you're going to have a few dark days, but you'll come through. Amen. Now listen to what Psalms, this is where I started. Psalms 21, verse 3. It says, "For you meet him with the blessings of goodness." Now I love the way one translation puts it. It says, "For you surprise him." Everybody say surprise. You surprise him with the blessings of goodness. So this is kind of, here you are. You're going down the path of life. You're on the journey of life. And all of a sudden, God jumps out from behind a bush. Surprise! Okay, and that's exactly what that means. God has a way of seeing you coming. And he'll jump out and surprise you with a blessing of goodness. How many of you could use a few surprises? Had a friend that was kind of a grumpy preacher. You've never had any of those, I know. But he was kind of a grumpy guy. He was always in a little, I called it a blue cloud of funk. He was always in a bad situation. And one night, it was a late Saturday, it was getting to be late, and he still didn't have a sermon. And for a preacher, that's rough, because he's trying to get his sermon for Sunday, and I mean zero inspiration. So back in our days, back in my days, we couldn't steal sermons. There was no Google. There was no internet. We couldn't steal. You had to actually read your Bible and get one. You know, and so he was scrapping, man. I mean, he's, "Oh, God, give me an idea." And the phone rings. Well, he's got some disciples, some young workers that he's working with in his church. And all of a sudden, he hears on the other end of the line, "Help, help, Pastor. You've got to come now. The police are coming." What? He's trying to figure out if the police are coming. He says, "We've got a demon-possessed man down here at the Civic Center, and he's going crazy, and the police are on their way." And he thinks, "Oh, man," they said, "Pastor, you got to come." It's the last thing you want to hear when you're trying to get a sermon. It's the last thing that's on your mind. Go cast out a devil downtown? What are my disciples doing? So he gets in his car. He has to go. And he gets down there. And just as he gets there, he sees these guys kind of crash through the door of the Civic Center. And they end up on the inside. And he's thinking, "Man, what a bummer." So he runs up there, opens the door, and surprise, it's a birthday party. The whole place is decorated. The whole church is in there. Everybody's excited. And the best gift of all, they had a preacher to preach for him the next morning. Amen. You know, God loves surprises, and he'll arrange them ahead of time for you. How many of you remember Gomer Pyle? Surprise, surprise, surprise. And that's the kind of God we serve. Listen to this. This is a great scripture. Isaiah 65, verse 24. "Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear." So this tells us that God has gone into all of our tomorrows. God has anticipated the things that we would need at the right time, at the right place. And just when you don't expect it, you can expect it. God will jump out from behind that bush and bring that blessing and that benefit into your life, because he knows exactly where you're going to be and when you need it. Amen. Here's what Jesus said in John 8:58. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Not I was, I am, which means I'm always present. I live outside of time. I'm always there. I'm with you at the exact moment, at the exact place, exactly what you need, anticipating your needs, anticipating where you're going to be. I don't care if you're in a dark moment. I've got special things placed there for you even in those times. God has what you need in your life. One time it was years ago, and I had a very small church, mostly my family, and trying to get them saved. If they're watching online, I'm not sure if that worked. Amen. Anyway, some of them are still pretty ornery. But I remember back in that day, I, you know, it was years ago, the doctor in this little town that I grew up in was demanding $500 cash or he wouldn't deliver the baby. Well, that's my first baby, so I'm thinking, gosh, I can't deliver the baby. I'll be at the hospital on the front steps trying to, I don't know what I'm doing. I got to get $500. Well, the baby's due now. And so I'm telling God, God, listen, I ain't got time to faith this one out. You got to give me $500. I'm in a real hurt block here. I need some help. I no more than got up from praying, walked out the church door onto the sidewalk. The church door is right on a sidewalk. I walked out, and there's a lady from our church that was coming. She saw my car was coming up. And she walks and gives me five $100 bills. I was blown away. Whoa, exactly what I needed. Now, here's the story, though. 3 months earlier, while I was preaching, God had spoke to her husband to give me $500. He didn't have $500, so he told his wife, as soon as I get that $500, I'm going to give it to that preacher because God spoke to me. And so she says, here's the $500 that God said and gave it to me. Do you understand what just happened? God knew I was going to need that $500 before I could even pray for it. Before I even asked God, before I even knew to ask God, God was working it out for me. He had a benefit. He had a surprise. Amen. God had put some things together, and he surprised me before I could pray, before I could even do anything. Surprise, say it with me. Surprise, surprise. And that's what happens. It just, God just does this. Sometimes it works in mysterious ways. It's not always money. I was preaching. When I was young, I practiced my preaching on the poor Navajo Indians. And they were like little captive audiences. And so I was not the world's best preacher, I got to tell you that. And so I was practicing. I was in a little place called Dilcon. And usually, you know, four or five people show up. And, man, I would just preach my guts out. I'd just, rah, like there was 1,000 people. I'd even start with ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. You know, I was preaching, right? Well, this night, I don't know what happened. I'm telling you before God, I don't know. No advertisement. No, there's like 200 people show up. For me, that might have been, that. I was Billy Graham. I mean, that was like, wow, you know. But Native American people aren't real good at children's and discipline. They're not real good at that. So while I'm preaching, I got a kid hanging on that leg, a kid hanging on this leg, another kid trying to steal my water, another kid trying to steal my mint on the front so I could have good breath when I prayed. You know what I'm talking? And they're all, so I'm shaking kids off trying to preach my sermon. And finally, this one kid, he would not let go. He's screaming and yelling, so I just hold him, and I'm trying to preach. And the parents don't even move. They just sit there just watching. If you throw one down, though, they're going to hate you. Okay, anyway, so I'm preaching my sermon, and all of a sudden, God speaks to me about this guy and says he's got a kidney problem. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, you know, I never had that, never had anything like that ever happen to me. And I'm telling you, it was like this divine, this guy's got a kidney problem. All I could think about was deliver my sermon because it was so great. And God, yeah, maybe you know it wasn't all that. But God kept dealing with me. No, shut up, man. Shut up and talk to that guy about his kidney problem. So finally, I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't even preach my sermon. So I said to this guy, listen, do you got a kidney problem? And he just starts crying. And he starts, I mean, Navajos don't usually do like that. They're very reserved. And I mean, he jumps up crying. He comes running to the front. I lay hands on him. He says he feels fire go throughout him. I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. And instantly God says, that lady over there's got a deaf ear. Her left ear's deaf. And I said, ma'am, do you have a deaf ear? And immediately she jumps up. God heals her ear. That night we had a guy that had a blind eye, two deaf ears, that kidney problem, and a bunch of things you can't really check. But other people, you know, you can tell if an ear's deaf and it can hear again. Right? A blind eye. You can figure that out. God started moving miraculously. It was a gift. It was a blessing. I'd been going out there for a long time, a couple of years, preaching my own gas, tearing up my own car. Because when you go to the reservation, it's rough roads. And you know, all of a sudden, this gift from God, this blessing from God, this benefit from God, I couldn't have orchestrated that if I had to. I'd never had a gift like that work in my life. I'd never even seen one work like that in anybody's life. And it was beautiful. Amen. Sometimes God will just give you the blessing of a word. How many, you know, you're having a bad day and you play Bible roulette. You flip your Bible open and you hope for a good scripture. Every once in a while you get one. I mean, it's like Jesus walks out of those pages. It's like, wow, perfect scripture, perfect moment. It's like, surprise, surprise, surprise. And a word will come to your heart or for somebody else. It happens. Sometimes it's just a refreshing. You come to church, your wife's been mean to you. Mine's probably watching right now. I love you. Appreciate you. Happy. It's the reason she's not here. We just had grandchild 16, and you couldn't have kept her away for nothing. Amen. A few more days, we're going to have grandchild 17. They got to learn what they're doing. I can't even remember all their names. Anyway, sometimes you come to church, and it's just one of those days, and you feel the presence of God, and it's awesome. And I want to tell you this. You don't want to be driving on the road when I feel the presence of God in my car. Because I just go off. I don't care. When His presence comes on me, it's an unexpected benefit. It's an unexpected blessing. The glory of God hits me, and the next thing you know, I'm in that guy's lane and that guy's lane, and I'm just shouting and having victory, and they're waving those friendly little waves and honking at me because they love me so much. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. What I'm trying to say to you is God sees your tomorrows. God anticipates where you're going to be. He knows what's happening in your life right now, your children's life. In fact, He knows what's going to happen in your lives 3 years from now. And God's already moving and already working things to bring benefits and blessings to your life. This is what the Bible says. And it might be that God's going to give me a brand new car. Amen, I'll receive it. But there's other blessings besides material blessings. There's things in our lives, health, and beautiful grandchildren and stuff like that. And never count God out. God does some crazy things. Amen. You know, all my life, I've been asking to see an angel. Now, I don't know if I ever see one, what it's going to be like. It'll probably scare me to death. But I've always said, God, and, you know, after a while, if you're not careful, you start getting cynical. You start getting weird attitudes about stuff. Don't rob God. I'm ready for God to send an angel to my house. Amen. I'm not one of these people that sit down and have cornflakes in the morning and talk to angels. I've never seen one. But I'm okay with that. I'd like to see one. I've seen enough demons. I'd like to see an angel. Amen. And I don't want to rule that out because God's favor and God's goodness and God's love. I believe God can do that kind of stuff. I mean, believe God's a God of surprises. I'd like to wake up and there'd be an angel. I said, woohoo, there he is. What's your name? Probably he'd be asking me what my name is. Now this is, listen, church. This is not isolated that God would surprise, that God's ahead of us. It's all through your Bible that God is working things out for you that you have no idea of. How many of you remember the story of Moses, little baby Moses? It's such a beautiful story. I mean, it's incredible. Because here's this child. Well, let me go back. Pharaoh has made a decree that all male children have to die. Well, wouldn't you know it, right after this decree, Moses' mother has him, the baby, is born. Do you know you can't keep a little baby boy quiet for very long? They're going to scream, they're going to cry, and they've got a set of lungs that are amazing. And she knows that she's going to get busted. She knows they'll kill that baby. She knows they'll kill her and the entire family. So she's trapped. So what she does is she takes a basket. It's a little straw basket, and she puts that baby in that straw basket, and she slips him out onto the Nile River, floats him down the Nile River, and tells his older sister, follow him. I want to see where he's going. I want to see what happens. Follow him down the river. Well, let me stop right there. You probably have heard this, but if you haven't, I'll share it with you. First of all, the Nile River is known as the River of the Gods because it's full of crocodiles. So she just slipped that baby on a little basket into the crocodile river. The reason that the Pharaoh is considered the king of all kings and the god of all gods is because every so often he would go out into the Nile River and he would kill a crocodile, proving he was the god of all gods. Well, when Moses, this baby, floats down that river, it makes him a god to the Egyptians because the crocodiles aren't eating him. Number one, he now is viewed, so as soon as he pulls in to where Pharaoh's daughter sees him, he's going to be considered a god. Number two, straw baskets with babies in them don't float. They sink, right? And so there's a Christian guy that's reading this story, and he says the only way that straw basket could have floated, it had to have petroleum. There had to be some kind of petroleum base that would keep the water from saturating this. And so he said, there's got to be oil in that area. And Standard Oil went over there and started drilling for oil. From that story right there. That's how there's treasures in them, that Bible's pages. There's treasures in there, okay? And so that guy got rich on that deal, amen. Anyway, so here comes this baby floating down the river, floats into where Pharaoh's daughter's probably out there bathing or something. He coos at the girl, and she falls in love with the baby. Now we have Moses gets taken right into Pharaoh's palace to be trained to be the deliverer of God's people. It's a crazy story. And when Pharaoh's daughter picks him up, she says, "This is a nursing baby. I don't have a nurse." That's when the big sister walks up and says, "I know a lady that can nurse him." And Moses' own mother gets to nurse him. Can I tell you, our God's amazing. Amen. He can do astonishing things, amazing things, because he can arrange stuff way ahead. This is years before the deliverance is going to happen. And God's arranging it. God's preparing it. God's ahead of us. And God's ahead of you today. He's ahead of wherever you're at. He's already got it worked out. You didn't even know he was working it out, and he worked it out. Amen. Before you even know to pray about it, he's already got it done. Now listen to this. This is Luke 21. This is verse 10. "Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. There will be fearful sights and great signs in the heaven. But before these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." And here's what I love. "But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Let me break that down, Kirkland paraphrase. In your worst nightmares, in the worst moments of your life, Jesus says, "Look for me, I'm there. Look for me. I want to use your life to shine my life through your life as a testimony of what I can do in the earth." Amen. I'm going to take your darkest moments, and I'm going to shine through them. I'm going to flip the script on everybody, and I'll make a testimony out of the whole thing. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. And so he says, "I want to have a surprise party." Now look at this one. Psalms 21, verse 7. Back to Psalms 21 again. "For the Lord trust," or "for the king trust in the Lord, and through the mercy." Mercy is what? It's when you deserve to be sentenced, you get off of it. You get set free when you deserve to get in trouble. You get the mercy. "So through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." Shall not be moved. In other words, he's safe. Safety is a big issue today. Security is a big issue today. My sister and brother-in-law run a security company in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm telling you, they've got some security things that are mind-blowing. You know, you can buy those things that you put on your doorbell, and you can see if people are coming to your house. They've got cameras. They've got all kinds of stuff that you can bury in the yard, and infrared, and all. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Incredible security systems, because people are afraid. Well, I feel like Christians are sometimes afraid. There's a fear built into us that we don't even sometimes realize there. That's there. Sometimes we don't feel we're good enough. Sometimes we don't feel that we're qualified, that we are really all that we're afraid that we're going to slip and make a mistake and fall, and something's going to happen and we're going to blow it. And a lot of that comes from the religious terror tactics of our youth. Amen. Here's one that happened to me. If Jesus comes back and you're sitting in the movies, you're going to get left behind. All I was doing was watching Bambi. I'm going to get left behind. You know, I was told if you roller skate with mixed, you know, a girl and a guy on a roller skating rink, that was a sin. You'd have to gouge out your left eye. Crazy stuff. So this fear gets built into you, right? This craziness gets built into you. And you feel like you're always about to slip. When I was a boy, my neighbor was a guy that hunted a lot. So he had these black and tan hound dogs. And they were vicious because we threw rocks at them. And shot them with BB guns and stuff like that. And so these dogs hated our guts. And so they had built a fence about 8 foot tall, made out of 2x6s. My neighbor had it all the way around his yard, my dad around his yard. So what we would do is we would mess with each other, and we'd try to tightrope that fence. Okay? And the dogs are on that side. You slip over there and you're gonna feel the pain. Okay, you're going to get it. That dog's going to tear you up. And so you walk the fence, but it's not just walking the fence. Your friends could get sticks and stuff. They couldn't touch you, but they could try to scare you. And so you have these sticks going all around you. Rocks are flying by. Bottles are flying by. All kinds of stuff. They're squirting water everywhere, but they can't touch you. They just can't. But you got to walk. And that's the way sometimes we feel Christianity is. Okay, we're trying to get down through this thing and not slip on the banana peel and end up in hell. See, some of you don't never experience that. You're just such a peaceful life. But others of us, fear has robbed us of our safety until we read this stuff right here. It says, even though you blew it, you need mercy. You got to have the mercy. You shall not be moved. Is that powerful? God says, I tell you what, they can't knock you off the fence. You shall not be moved. And here's what he says, Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you'll condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And here's the text. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. My righteousness is not sourced in me or my performance. It's sourced in the Lord God and his performance. Jesus died for me. I didn't die for him. Amen. And so he has become my righteousness. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what he's done. And so I'm not walking a tightrope. Jesus, here's the solid truth. If you want Jesus to keep you, he'll keep you. Amen. That's the bottom line truth. Now listen to Deuteronomy 33, 27. The eternal God is our what? Refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy them. So here's what life is, church. Listen to me. This is not a tightrope. This is not you slip and you fall off. This is a fortress. God says, I am your refuge. If you face plant, you're doing your best and you face plant, you blow it completely. God says, I have everlasting arms underneath you. I'll reach down, I'll pick you back up, I'll have mercy on you. I know you deserve to mess up, but I've got benefits for you, I've got blessings for you, I've got untold things that I'll put into your life and your children's life. I'm there for you, and I'm not going to let you go. I'm the best security system you ever had. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. That's all right. Don't patty cake. Give him a real one. Amen. Psalms 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abides forever. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and all the way into Chesapeake 2020. That's what it says. Psalms 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In my God, in him I will trust. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I was raised in a small town. Anybody else in here raised in a small town? In small towns, when you get in fights, it's a vicious thing. Because in a small town, they will beat the fire out of you. They'll beat you, kick you, beat you some more, spit on you, tie your leg to the back of the bumper of a truck and drag you down the alley. I mean, they'll beat you up. I'm talking about it's a whooping you don't forget. And one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to get in a fight at dark in the alley where there's no lights because the police can't come and save you. So you got to stay in the lights if you're going to get in a fight. Ain't none of y'all been in fights before? Anyway, we learn these things as young kids. Now, also, in a small town, on Friday night, everybody goes to the high school football game. Everybody in town goes to high school. The stands are packed out. It's full. Everybody's there. So my little friend, he's about 9 years old, and he's a smart mouth. He's always running at his mouth. I don't know why, but he picks on the 15-year-old guy. And he says, the 15-year-old guy says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stomp you to the ground, right? So we know we're in trouble. He takes off running, dodges through the crowd, slides up into the stands, and pretty soon he's way up here at the top corner of the stand, Steve. He's way over here. And he looks down the far down there, and there's that 15-year-old. That 15-year-old spots him. They see each other. All the way across the stands, they see each other. The 15-year-old, I'll get you, man. He knows he's had. The only way out is to go right by where the 15-year-old. That's the only gate. The only other thing he can do is climb down the backside and jump into the street. But that 15-year-old will see him. He's watching him. And he can run for it, but guess what will happen? He'll get just out the light, out of the lights, and the 15-year-old will catch him. You don't want to get caught in the dark. So he's stuck. I mean, it's terrifying. This 15-year-old is going to get him, so he's a nervous wreck. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He's sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? And then he looks down at the sideline right down below him. And there standing at the sideline below him is the local head knocker, Big Earl. Big Earl, man, this guy's like a junior in high school, built like a brick house, playing varsity football already. I mean, he's bad, right? He's bad. He's the dude. And the best thing about Big Earl, he just started dating the 9-year-old sister. And he needs to earn some favors from the sister. And so this guy says, yeah. And he shoots straight down there to Big Earl. He says, Big Earl, that guy over there, he's going to beat the fire out of me, man. I need some help. And so Big Earl says, I got it. Go on back up there where you belong. He walks over and he says, so I'm watching him. And he says, he pushes on that guy's head, doing this. And he says, you can see the color going out of the guy. You can see the guy getting more and more fearful. He's humbling more and more. And so finally he's broken down. Big Earl walks back over and he gives the thumbs up, like, don't worry about it. Got it under control. So then he looks back down to that 15-year-old. The 15-year-old looks back at him. Now it's a whole different thing. Now it's like, mess with me, devil. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. What just happened there is my friend was trusting under the shadow of the Most High Earl. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to perform in any kind of way because the Big Earl was bigger than the 15-year-old. Can I tell you, your God's bigger than any problem you ever had? Your God can handle the situation. I don't care what you're into. I don't care what's going on in your life. Your God's got it. You have a refuge. You might be weak, but he is strong. You might be poor, but he is rich. Amen. Your God has got this. You don't have to worry about it. And the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're weak or you're strong. When God's in your case, in your situation, I don't care what the mess is. When God gets in there, the capacity changes. Amen. Amen. So this is what I'm trying to say. We're living in a world right now that's upside down. All kinds of media, all kinds of stuff going on. But we have a God that is our refuge. We have a place where we can run into and hide, and our God will be with us. Watch what it says in Psalms 91:14. Because he has set his love upon me, talking about you, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. God says, if you set your love on me, just set your love on me, I'll deliver you. It doesn't matter what the Democrats, Republicans, or anybody else does. You set your love on God, and God's got you. That's the best place you could ever be. That's the greatest security you'll ever have. Now, here's a text that is powerful. I almost preached this as my key text. I want you to listen to it. Psalm 73:22. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, everybody say that with me. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Let me give you Kirkland paraphrase. I acted like a fool. I was dumber than a dog. Nevertheless. Whoo, I love that word. If you want to do a great word study in the Bible, study that word right there. You hold me by my hand. Nevertheless is not a word of consolation. It means God is always greater. He's never less than. Nevertheless, always the greater. Always the greater, always the greater, always looking out for you, always watching you, always got you by your right hand. When I was raising my 3 boys, them little dudes were wound up, pumped up, hyped up because I gave them cinnamon toast with sugar. Little dudes, man, they were bouncing off the wall all the time. And it didn't matter. As soon as you opened the front door, they was out the door. And if there was a mud puddle, they were straight into it. If there was a problem, they was there. If there was fast traffic on the road, they was out there. You know what I'm talking about? Them kids were fast, man. If you went to the mall, they were gone. You didn't know where they was. You had to search the next 2 hours for your kids. I wish to God we'd have had them harnesses like they have nowadays. I'd have harnessed every one of them. Anyway, I'm sorry for you folks. You know what I did? I grabbed them by the little right hand, just like the Bible says. Nevertheless, you might be crazier than a hoot owl. You a fool and acting like a dog. You're going to run off. Nevertheless, I got you by your little hand. I'm not going to let you run out in the street, get hurt. I'm not going to let you get stole by somebody and steal you. I'm not going to let you do something dumb. I'm going to hold you by your hand. Nevertheless, God has done some stuff for you. Nevertheless, you messed up. You blew it. You've done some bad, stupid stuff. Nevertheless, by his mercy, he's going to hold you. He's going to benefit you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch out for you. Amen. He's going to do some stuff for you that you don't deserve. Hallelujah, somebody. Nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At exactly the right moment, I didn't even know it was going to happen, God anticipated it. God saw it. God was there. At exactly the right moment, God triggers things, makes somebody say something that moves something, that changes something to bring it to pass. That's the way our God works. That's how God does it. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Now, I want to give you this word that the Lord gave me, and then I'm going to be done. Listen to this word. If you're not anchored in the goodness of God, you'll lower your theology to match your pain. Okay? If you're not anchored in the goodness of God, you'll lower your theology to match your pain. So here's where I'm at. You guys, our God is a good God. God has not changed his mind about America. I don't care what they're doing. God's still in charge. This country is not in deconstruct mode. It's in reconstruct mode. God's reconstructing. God is moving. God is not worried about it. His arm is powerful. He is great. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. It'll be all right. He's not fretted by it. He's got us by the hand. He's going to walk us through this thing. No matter what happens, our God will be with us. Let that rekindle hope in your heart today. Turn off the ABC, CBN, NBC, all that. And open your Bible and get a hold of God again and let your hope come alive. Your God will see you through earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, volcanoes. It doesn't matter what's going on, hurricanes. It doesn't even matter. Psychopaths. I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on today, stuff that your brain can't even put it together. But our God will see us through it all. Our God will use it to benefit us. Our God will cause it to bring blessings to our lives. Amen. What we have to do is fall in love with him, stay under the shadow of the Most High God, keep our hearts right with him, and everything's going to be okay. Amen. And right when you think it's all about to fall apart, surprise, 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 he'll jump right out of the bush. He'll jump right into your life with a great big blessing. And you'll say, God, I blew it. And he'll say, nevertheless. But God, what about? Nevertheless. And he'll bless you. And he'll take care of you. Because that's the God you serve. Can we pray? Bow your heads today if you would. Father, our hope is in you. Our expectancy is in you. Not only do we expect great things, God, we anticipate them. We anticipate with our faith that you're moving in a great way. So, Lord, this next week, as we're having VBS here, I pray rally the saints to support. Rally these young children, God, and place things in their hearts that will forevermore be there, that they'll remember and ingrain in their lives in such an unstable world the stability of a God who will keep them right on track. Amen. Bless our church. Bless our people. Let them know that you have never let the righteous beg for bread, that you'll turn things around, you'll bless, you'll cause an anointing to come in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I don't know where you're at today.